Welcome to the Utica Phoenix Deep Dive. Today we are diving into a pretty concerning situation that's unfolding at Columbia University, and we're looking at how it intersects with the current political landscape.
Yeah.
And for this, we're pulling from a bunch of different news sources: BBC News, CBS News, CNN, and The Guardian are all kind of weighing in on this. And the heart of the matter is the arrest and attempted deportation of Mahmoud Khalil.
Right.
He's a Columbia University graduate. He's a pro-Palestinian activist.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to kind of dig into the details of his arrest and, you know, what exactly are the allegations against him? What are the legal challenges that are being mounted to stop his deportation?
Right.
And what does this all mean for free speech here in the U.S.?
Absolutely. And I think this case has really captured a lot of attention. For good reason.
Mm-hmm.
So Mahmoud Khalil, he is a permanent U.S. resident, so that means he has a green card.
Right.
He's allowed to live and work here, and as you said, a graduate of Columbia University. He was actually arrested by IC agents last Saturday evening at his university-owned apartment.
Wow.
In Manhattan.
Okay.
And I think what really stands out immediately is that he played a very prominent role in those Gaza war protests at Columbia last year.
Right.
He actually served as a lead negotiator for Columbia University Apartheid Divest.
And the reaction to his arrest was so swift and so intense right away.
Mm.
There were protests in New York City. People were demanding his release.
Mm.
And we even saw a Columbia University professor, Michael Fadius, actually call him a political prisoner.
Yeah, it definitely gives you a sense that, you know, this is being perceived as something beyond just standard legal procedure, right?
Right.
There's something else going on here.
Right.
And on top of that, when he was arrested, IC agents reportedly told him that both his student visa and his green card were being revoked.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, while he was studying, he likely held a student visa and then he, you know, got his green card to stay here. But now they're taking those away.
Right.
And initially, they detained him in a New Jersey immigration facility before transferring him a pretty far distance to a detention center in Jenna, Louisiana. And, you know, that also raises some questions like why was he moved so far away?
Right. Why Louisiana?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And his lawyer, Amy Greer, she's made some pretty disturbing allegations.
Yeah. And scary.
Yeah, definitely. She said that ICE actually threatened to arrest Mahmoud's wife.
Wow.
Who is an American citizen, and she's 8 months pregnant.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and, you know, when she tried to go visit him in New Jersey, apparently officials misled her about his location.
Wow.
So, you know, it really does make you wonder about the tactics that are being used here.
Yeah.
Columbia University, they've said that law enforcement can enter campus if they have a warrant, but that they did not invite ICE agents in this particular instance.
Okay, so let's kind of dig into the reasons that are being given as to why this arrest happened.
Okay.
The Department of Homeland Security, DHS, has accused Khalil of leading activities aligned to Hamas.
Right.
But it's really interesting that they're not providing very many specific details to support that claim.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, Khalil aligned to is a pretty broad term. It doesn't necessarily mean that he was a member of Hamas or that he was directly involved in any illegal activities.
Right. It's very vague.
Yeah. And we've heard from some pretty high profile figures on this as well. President Trump stated that foreign students who are found to be terrorist sympathizers would face deportation.
Right.
And he specifically called out Mahmoud and said that his arrest was the first of many to come.
Wow.
So, you know.
Strong words.
Very strong words. Secretary of State Marco Rubio also posted on X, reiterating the administration's stance on revoking visas and green cards for Hamas supporters.
Hmm.
And then President Trump actually continued to comment on this on Truth Social and called Khalil a radical foreign pro-Hamas student.
Yeah.
And to add to that, Trump's border czar, Tom Homan, he was on Fox News, and he alleged that Khalil violated his visa terms by locking down buildings and destroying property.
Mm.
But here's the really important thing. Despite all of these public accusations, Mahmoud Khalil has not been charged with any crime.
Yeah, that's a really important distinction to make.
Yes.
And there has been, you know, pushback legally and concerns raised about free speech.
Exactly.
Thankfully, a federal judge has temporarily blocked his deportation.
Okay, good.
And a hearing has been set for Wednesday.
Okay.
His lawyer, Amy Greer, she called his detention terrible and inexcusable.
Yeah.
And she said that it's part of the U.S. government's open repression of student activism and political speech.
Wow.
Which she says is a violation of the First Amendment.
Right.
And we've seen civil liberties organizations coming out, you know, pretty strongly against this as well.
Absolutely.
Donna Lieberman, the president of the New York Civil Liberties Union,
yeah.
she called his potential deportation targeted retaliation and an extreme attack on the First Amendment.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of people are seeing this as a pretty serious attack on free speech.
Right.
And we've also seen the New York Attorney General, Letitia James, express extreme concern. And she's actually monitoring the situation.
Good.
And Ben Wisner of the ACLU, he called the arrest unprecedented, illegal, and un-American.
Wow.
And he said that the goal seems to be to intimidate and chill speech on one side of a public debate.
Right. And The Guardian actually highlighted the ACLU's warning, saying that this arrest is an attack on free speech.
Yeah. So, you know, this really begs the question, what exactly does the First Amendment protect?
Well, the First Amendment is a cornerstone of our democracy here in the U.S.
Right.
It protects our freedom of speech, the press, assembly, religion, and the right to petition the government.
So when we talk about free speech, is it basically just saying whatever you want without consequences?
Not exactly. It's a little more complicated than that.
Right.
There are certain limitations.
Okay.
Like you can't incite violence or defame someone.
Okay.
But generally speaking, political speech is very strongly protected.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes speech that's critical of the government or even critical of foreign policies.
Mm-hmm.
And it also extends to protests and, you know, expressing dissenting views.
For you.
The idea is that we have a marketplace of ideas, and that the best way to get to the truth is to let everyone share their opinions freely, even if those opinions are unpopular.
So in light of all of this, who is Mahmoud Khalil?
Well, he's a Palestinian refugee.
Okay.
He was born in Syria, and his family is originally from Tiberias, which is now an Israeli city.
Mm-hmm.
He's a legal permanent resident of the U.S. He has a green card. He earned his master's degree from Columbia just last December.
Okay.
So this isn't someone who's, you know, a tourist or here on a temporary visa.
Right. He's made a life here.
Exactly. And it's interesting to look at what he has said in his own words.
Okay.
In an interview with CNN last spring, he said that he believes the liberation of both the Palestinian and Jewish people are intertwined, and that his movement is all about achieving social justice, freedom, and equality for everyone.
Okay.
He also very clearly stated that there is no place for anti-Semitism in his activism.
Mm.
And he even acknowledged that anti-Palestinian sentiment, Islamophobia, and racism do exist.
Wow.
So, you know, these aren't the words of someone who's promoting hate. He also explained why he participated in the Columbia protests in the way that he did.
Okay.
He said he chose not to be part of the actual encampments, mostly because he was worried about his immigration status.
Understandable.
Yeah. But he was still very active. Mm-hmm. He gave speeches. He led discussions with university administrators.
Okay.
He even talked about feeling survival guilt because he was able to protest while Palestinians are facing oppression.
So it sounds like he's a pretty complex individual.
Yeah, for sure.
With, you know, nuanced views.
Absolutely. And he actually talked about how he was temporarily suspended and then reinstated by Columbia after that Hamilton Hall demonstration.
Mm.
And he felt like that whole experience showed that the university doesn't always have a fair process.
Right.
And, you know, it's also important to note that his friends and supporters, including Jewish students, have rejected the idea that he is anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
They describe him as a very, very caring soul.
It's interesting how this whole situation's unfolding against the backdrop of those really intense pro-Palestinian protests that happened at Columbia.
Yeah.
And the accusations of anti-Semitism that came up during that time.
Right. Columbia was a central location for a lot of these protests against the Gaza war and against U.S. support for Israel.
Right.
And it's true that some Jewish students did report that some of the rhetoric at those protests crossed the line into anti-Semitism.
Right. And we can't ignore that.
Yeah. And the Trump administration responded to these concerns by saying that they were going to pull $400 million in federal grants from Columbia.
Wow.
They said that Columbia wasn't doing enough to combat anti-Semitism on campus.
And as a result of all of this, Columbia ended up switching to remote classes at the end of the 2024 spring semester.
They did.
And they cited safety concerns.
Yeah.
And we've even seen the Anti-Defamation League weigh in on this. They praised the administration's commitment to reducing anti-Semitism. Mm-hmm. But they also said that any deportation actions have to respect due process protections.
Right. So it's this tension between, you know, wanting to address hate speech, but also wanting to make sure that people's fundamental rights are being protected.
Right.
You can't just, you know, throw out due process in the name of, you know, fighting anti-Semitism or any other type of hate speech.
So this case really forces us to think about how free speech works here in the U.S.
It does.
Especially when it involves people who aren't citizens and when it touches on these really sensitive political issues.
Absolutely.
So let's take a minute to think about some of the questions that might be on our listeners' minds.
Okay.
So, for example, a common question is, isn't the government allowed to deport people who support terrorist organizations?
Right, and it's a good question.
Yeah.
And U.S. immigration law does have provisions that address terrorism-related activities.
Right.
But, you know, the Mahmoud Khalil situation is more complex than that.
Okay.
He hasn't been convicted of any crime.
Right.
The reason that they're trying to deport him is that he was leading activities aligned to Hamas, but they haven't really given any evidence that he was directly supporting terrorism.
Right. They're just using this really vague language.
Exactly. And they're really focusing on his political activism and his associations, which, you know, starts to raise First Amendment concerns.
Exactly. So another question is, does free speech protect foreign nationals in the U.S. in the same way that it protects citizens?
So generally speaking, yes, the First Amendment protects everyone in the U.S. no matter what their immigration status is.
Okay.
But there can be some immigration-related consequences for non-citizens who do certain things that might be protected speech if they were a citizen.
Hmm.
So it's a very complicated legal area, and that's a big part of why Mahmoud's deportation is being challenged.
So where do we draw the line between criticizing a government's policies and supporting a terrorist organization?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question in this case, right?
Right.
Because criticizing a government's policies, even the Israeli government, is generally seen as protected political speech. But actively supporting a designated foreign terrorist organization can have legal consequences.
Right.
But the problem is that it's not always clear what align to means in this situation.
Right.
And, you know, have Mahmoud's activities really crossed that line, especially since he hasn't even been charged with a crime.
So I'm sure a lot of our listeners are wondering, why should I, as a Democrat or as a liberal, care about this case?
Well, I think the concern here is that the government could be using immigration laws to silence dissent and to target people based on their political views.
Right.
And even if you don't agree with Mahmoud Khalil's specific views on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, the idea that he could be deported for expressing those views sets a really dangerous precedent.
Absolutely.
Because it could have a chilling effect on free speech.
Yeah.
For all kinds of activists and dissenting voices all across the political spectrum.
Right. It goes way beyond this one case.
Exactly.
So what can our listeners do if they're concerned about this situation?
Well, I think the most important thing is to stay informed. You know, follow reputable news sources, keep up with the legal proceedings.
Oh, right.
I think it's also valuable to have thoughtful, respectful conversations with people about the importance of free speech and civil liberties.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you really feel strongly about this, you could even contact your elected representative.
That's right. And let them know what you think.
Exactly.
So let's talk about the bigger picture here. Why is it such a bad sign for democracy when someone seems to be targeted for their political beliefs and there isn't a huge public outcry?
Well, a healthy democracy needs people to be able to freely exchange ideas.
Yeah.
And that means that people need to be able to speak their minds, even if their opinions are unpopular or even if they challenge the status quo.
Right.
But when the government targets people for what they believe,
right,
it creates an atmosphere of fear. Yeah. People start to worry that they could be watched or investigated or even deported if they're not citizens.
Right. They don't want to speak up.
Exactly. And that erosion of free speech, that chilling effect, it leads to a less informed and a less engaged citizenry.
Right. Which ultimately weakens democracy.
Right. Because if people are afraid to speak their minds, then we can't have those important conversations and debates that we need to have as a society.
Exactly. And even if you don't agree with the specific views that are being expressed, the right to express those views is something that we have to protect for everyone.
Absolutely.
When we let the government silence dissenting voices, even voices that we disagree with, we're creating a society where only certain opinions are allowed.
Right.
And that's the opposite of a vibrant democracy.
Thank you for joining us for this Utica Phoenix deep dive into the case of Mahmoud Khalil and the really important questions that it raises about free speech in the United States.
Absolutely.
We encourage you to keep thinking about these complex issues and what they mean for our democracy.
It's an important conversation to have.
And thank you to David Laguerre, the producer of this deep dive.